Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and Monday, can't trust that day, alohas.
Time for that radio show again.
Oh, yeah. This will be like shooting cats off of grandma's sofa. Exactly. Great to have you along. 5 o'clock follies are underway, the most heavily commuted hour of the Bobby Mac Electric Radio program, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Just grab your phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, also available for you, 71307. And my email address is very simply bob@1063word.com. If you missed it, or if you just got off work at 5 o'clock and didn't hear it in the first place, the keyword for this hour in the $1,000 bankroll contest as we enter the final week is scale, S-C-A-L-E. Okay, just text that to 72881, the contest text line number, and get your name in the hat for the $1,000 bankroll contest for this hour. Pretty amazing weekend. A lot was going on. Busy weekend for us. Of course, we wrapped up Radiothon on Friday, raising over $250,000. Thank you again for your generosity. August the 28th, we'll have the final tally on how much was raised this year and how much has been raised cumulatively in the 11 years that we've been doing Radiothon, but we fully expect it'll be over the $3 million mark. Then on Saturday night, as you heard Annie mention during the newscast, the South Carolina Broadcasters Association had their big awards banquet down in Columbia. 106.3 WORD honored as Radio Station of the Year. Thank you very much for that. And the Bobby Mac Show taking the Merit Award as Radio Show of the Year. So thanks so much. A lot going on. You probably heard about this guy who was an employee of Horizon Airlines. That's, I think, part of Alaska Air. The guy worked as a ground agent and took one of the airline's airplanes and flew off with it. Truly incredible. Runway worker, guy's name Richard Russell, worked in Seattle, stole a Horizon Airlines plane on Friday, and sadly, eventually crashed it on an island. He wasn't a trained pilot, but he seemed to think he knew what he was doing because he had played video games before. You know, they have simulators that you can buy and run on your computer, and it's just like flying the aircraft. Horizon Air Ground Service agent Richard Russell barreled down the runway, took off, and flew the two-engine turboprop above Puget Sound, flying before he eventually crashed, apparently deliberately. Airline executives said they aren't sure whether the 29-year-old who was hired by the Alaska Air Group's regional arm, Horizon Air, in February of 2015, had any formal flight training. He didn't have a pilot's license. Horizon Air CEO Gary Beck said in a news conference over the weekend the grounds crew worker told air traffic control agents he had played some video games. Here is some of Russell talking to the ATC guys, air traffic controllers, while flying the stolen Horizon Air plane.
I got a lot of people that care about me. It's going to disappoint them to hear that I did this. I would like to apologize to each and every one of them. Just a broken guy got a few screws loose, I guess. Never really knew it until now.
There is the runway just off your right side in about a mile. Do you see that? That's McCord Field.
Oh, man, those guys will rough me up if I tried landing there. I think I might mess something up there, too. I wouldn't want to do that. Hopefully, they probably got anti-aircraft.
No, they don't have any of that stuff. We're just trying to find a place for you to land safely.
Yeah, not quite ready to bring it down just yet, but holy smokes, I gotta stop looking at the fuel because it's going down quick. This is probably like jail time for life, huh? I mean, I would hope it is for a guy like me. I don't need that much help. I've played some video games before. I would like to figure out how to get this cabin altitude. Like, I know where the box is. I would like to get some, make it pressurized or something so I'm not so lightheaded.
I wouldn't know how to land it. I wasn't really planning on landing it.
Minimum wage. We'll chalk it up to that. Maybe that'll grease the gears a little bit with the higher up. Damn it, Andrew! People's lives are at stake here!
Now, Rich, don't say stuff like that.
Nah, I didn't tell you. I don't want to hurt anyone. I just want you to whisper sweet nothings into my ear.
This was a truly amazing story. Horizon Air, as I mentioned, is owned by Alaska Airlines, and their CEO, Brad Tilden, talked over the weekend about how this Richard Russell was able to get access to a plane, even though obviously he's not a pilot.
His job is to be around airplanes. He is TOW certified, so he's meant to be on the secure. Airports have a non-secure side and a secure side. He's meant to be on the secure side. That's part of the fulfillment of his job responsibilities.
It's pretty incredible because the guy was doing some pretty interesting maneuvers with the airplane. There were some maneuvers that were done that were incredible, said Brad Tilden, the Alaska Air CEO. I don't know how he achieved the experience that he had. Said commercial aircraft are complex machines and not as easy to fly as a small plane, such as a Cessna 150. The incident at SeaTac, Seattle Tacoma International, has exposed blind spots in aviation security and safety. Yeah, I would say so. And challenges in screening employees and addressing potential mental health problems. NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, is reviewing the cockpit voice recorder and the FDR, the flight data recorder, which will give them some insight into what happened, how he was able to fire that baby up and just taxi out and take off. He was part of a team of ground service workers whose duties included loading and unloading baggage, tidying the planes, and towing them. In fact, he used a tractor to move the 76-seat Q400 turboprop plane 180 degrees so he could taxi it to the runway when an air traffic controller repeatedly asked him to identify himself. After he was airborne, the ATC folks, as you heard, were calm and patient as they tried to keep him away from populated areas and incoming aircraft. One controller suggested another nearby airport where he could attempt to land, but he refused to do that. He said, I've played video games before, and I know what I'm doing a little bit. He said he knew how to put the landing gear down, appeared to struggle at times, said, telling ATC, I have no idea what all that means, and fretted about his fuel supply declining. A Q400 captain from another airline, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, said the maneuvers were impressive and that even starting the plane's engines is complex. A process that includes a series of commands, and getting one of them wrong would stop the engines from starting up. Pilot guy, can this thing do a backflip, do you think? Russell is heard saying on the recording with air traffic controllers. He said he was going to attempt barrel rolls, some skills he could have gotten on the job from watching others, while flight simulator software may have helped him familiarize himself with how the plane works. Tutorials are also available online. And, of course, tragically, he ended up crashing the plane into a, I guess, unpopulated island. Whew. Wow. You know, after 9/11, you would have thought something like this would have been virtually impossible? Apparently not. Quarter after five here on the Bobby Mack Show. Well, what do you know? One of the top officials in the Democrat National Committee now could be caught up in the hashtag MeToo movement. Keith Ellison, that is. Be right back. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you, my dear. 521, 21 after 5 here on the Bobby Mack Show, the Monday edition. You may be familiar with the name Keith Ellison. He's been around for a while. He's a Muslim congressman from Minnesota, and he wanted to be the chairman of the DNC. Tom Perez, who I guess is even more of a commie than Ellison, actually won. But, of course, they threw him a bone, and they made him, like, co-chair or sub-chairman or something or other. Now he's got some difficulty. He also is in another political race. Keith Ellison, one of the leading candidates to be Minnesota's next attorney general. That would be good. Confronted allegations Sunday of domestic abuse from a former girlfriend that surfaced days before the election that will decide the party's nominee. The allegation that the physical abuse was caught on video was posted to Facebook late Saturday night by the woman's son 4 days before Minnesota's primary election, where Ellison is facing off against four other Democrats for the open attorney general seat. Ellison is a six-term 5th District congressman and the perceived front-runner in the race. In a written statement yesterday, Ellison denied the incident. Of course he did. He said he was in a long-term relationship that ended in 2016, but he denied the allegation of abuse. "I still care deeply for her well-being," he wrote. "This video does not exist because I never behaved in this way, and any characterization otherwise is false." State Representative Deborah Hillstrom, who also is running for the Democrat nomination for AG, recirculated the Facebook post, well, of course she did, and called on Ellison to answer the allegation. She tweeted the Saturday account from Austin Monahan, the son of Karen Monahan, Ellison's former longtime girlfriend. By Sunday afternoon, the post had been shared more than 2,000 times. Hillstrom was later joined by the other Democrat candidates. Yeah. Feeding frenzy. Matt Pelican. Really? Guy's name is Pelican? Spelled differently. P-E-L-I-K-A-N. Like Ellicant. And Tom Foley, who separately called for Ellison to address the allegation. In the post, Austin Monahan, the son, who's 25, said that in 2017 he was going through his mom's computer when he saw a file that included a two-minute video showing Ellison in a physical altercation with his mother. The alleged video was not included in the Facebook post and has not been provided to news outlets. There are no police reports or court documents confirming the incident. Austin Monahan said he confronted Ellison by text message after he saw the video and said, "I know what you did to my mama." Karen Monahan, an organizer with the Sierra Club, of course she is, was in a relationship with Ellison for years. The two are seen together in many of her social media posts, including hiking together in national parks and posing with the Obamas at the White House. Well, how nice. Records show she lived in his Minneapolis home before their relationship ended. Ellison, who was previously married to a different woman, is divorced. In recent weeks, Karen Monahan has been active on social media talking about the hashtag MeToo movement, which encourages women to share their experiences of sexual harassment and assault. And she's also shown public support for Hillstrom's campaign for attorney general. Uh-oh. Woman scorned. Until now, she hadn't named Ellison in the post, but she had tagged him in many. more than 100 text and Twitter messages between Ellison and Karen Monahan, shared by her and reviewed by a news source in Minnesota, show the two communicating after their breakup for months, coordinating her getting her things from his house. The tenor of the conversation at times was friendly, with the two acknowledging concern and care for one another, and at other times more combative over the terms of their breakup and the emotional pain Karen Monahan said Ellison had caused her. In one exchange, Karen Monahan tells Ellison she plans to write about their journey in a chapter in her book, and Ellison warns her not to. "Horrible attack on my privacy, unreal," he wrote in one message. And a screenshot of a December 2017 text message sent to this Minnesota news outlet by Monahan last night. She confronts Ellison for the first time that a video of the video exists of the alleged abuse. "We never discussed the video I have of you trying to drag me off the bed," she wrote to Ellison, quoting abusive language he allegedly shouted at her. Ellison did not respond to that message or others that followed. In a statement to NPR News, that's this Minneapolis news source, Karen Monahan said Ellison met with her the night before he filed to run for attorney general, worried she would talk about their relationship. Monahan said she didn't make any promises. She said her son, coming out to share her story before her, was brave and courageous, and he struggled to stay silent for a long time. "He knew I was ready to share my story. I told them to brace themselves because I would be smeared," she added. "I took down my Facebook page about 2 days ago because I didn't want him sending nasty messages to me." Kim Ellison, who is Keith Ellison's ex-wife, came to the congressman's defense Sunday in a statement emailed to reporters. "We may be divorced, but we're still a family. I want members of our community to know that the behavior described does not match the character of the Keith I know." Then again, what happened in one relationship may not have been replicated in another. So we'll see how Mr. Ellison fares in this latest hashtag MeToo movement. Bob in on the text line: "What Antifa doesn't realize is that right-wingers outgun them 10-1, and we have allowed them to have their protest. They are starting to take advantage of our good nature." Bob. Bobby, that story about the guy that took off in the Horizon Airlines plane reminded me so much of the time when on September 11th, 1997, a frantic man called Art Bell said he was over Area 51 in a homemade airplane. That incident also had the same ending. Bob, I guess if you're going to off yourself, you may as well do it with panache and a bang. Wow. Bob, Keith Ellison, it's claimed, beat up his ex-girlfriend. That's so surprising, considering the reputation of how well Muslims treat women. Bob, a woman running for Ellison's congressional seat is a Somali bigamist suspected of immigration fraud who conducts her current state meetings with voters in Somali, not in English. Bobby, that's not like the Dems to turn on each other. Wonder what gives. Well, maybe they're stealing a page from Hillary Von Pantsuit. Remember the way they came up with the war room to attack all the credibility and character of the women who were attacking Slick Willie during the bimbo eruptions? 5:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's back and ready to go in the news center, and I'm right back on the other side here in the 5 o'clock Follies on Monday.
And now back to our regularly scheduled program.
Why, thank you. 5:38, 22 before 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. And I guess the big story of the day, the latest media feeding frenzy is Omarosa. Who in the heck is Omarosa? And who gives a you-know-what about anything she has to say? Here's the story from Fox News. Omarosa Manigault Newman appeared irritable and fumed at Savannah Guthrie before abruptly cutting off an appearance on NBC's Today Show this morning, claiming she had another interview to get to minutes after proclaiming, "Well, I've got all the time you need." Well, she's consistent. Manigault Newman was on the morning show to share a recording of a conversation she says she had with President Trump the day after she was fired by White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. Guthrie began the interview by playing the recording and plugging Manigault Newman's new book, Unhinged, but things quickly turned awkward. Guthrie asked the former Apprentice star if Trump was lying in a tape that was played seconds earlier, but Manigault Newman wanted to talk about a different topic and started asking rhetorical questions about why Kelly allegedly mistreated her. She also focused on Trump saying they run a big operation at the White House. Boy, that's a stunning revelation. Did you know that? It's a big operation at the White House. Yeah. I, for one, am stunned and shocked to hear that. Guthrie tried to take charge of the chat, but Manigault Newman barked back, "I'll get to the second part." Guthrie then attempted to ask a follow-up question, but Omarosa shot it down. "Wait, Savannah, who is the they in the tape? You can't ask the question and then ask another question without my answer. You asked me, do you think he knows?" Guthrie responded, "You said you're not sure." Omarosa then went off on another tangent about Kelly, and Guthrie attempted to regain control of the interview, good luck with that, asking a series of questions regarding whether or not Trump lies often, and if so, when his former ally realized it. "Savannah, slow down," Omarosa said. "I'm going to answer your question. Don't worry. I'm here. I've got all the time you need. You don't have to ask 10 questions in 1 second. It's okay." Over the weekend, Omarosa released a different recording of Kelly notifying her of her firing in the Situation Room. Omarosa said Sunday that Kelly was threatening her in the White House. Here is a woman who is not only making a covert recording in the Situation Room in the White House. Now, apparently, she claims she also recorded the president. Guthrie asked Omarosa how she was able to secretly record Kelly, but she declined to answer, I bet. Instead, she said she would leave that to people's imagination. Guthrie responded, "Why be coy?" Omarosa said, "I'm not being coy. I'm being very clear here." While still not answering the question, she was in the middle of another rant that had nothing to do with Guthrie's question. When the Today co-host attempted to intervene, she said she'd heard for years that the tape existed. This is the one where supposedly the president used the N-word. "And once I heard it for myself, it was confirmed what I feared the most, that Donald Trump is a con and has been masquerading as someone who's actually open to engaging with diverse communities. But when he talks that way, the way he did on this tape, it confirmed that he is truly a racist." Newman didn't specify when exactly the tape was from, but said that it was from Trump's time hosting the show. That would, of course, be the show he did on NBC, and spinoffs through early 2015. She then described herself as being complicit in the White House's deception of the American people and about its interest in advocating for the black community. "It's hindsight, but I will say this to you, I was complicit with this White House deceiving this nation. They continue to deceive this nation by how mentally declined he is, how difficult it is for him to process complex information." Yeah, sure, Omarosa. That's why when I see the president go out and do these events on the road, like the one he did in Ohio before the special election there, speaking unlike his predecessor in the Oval Office, who once went to a elementary school in Northern Virginia to address the third graders and took a teleprompter with him. When I see President Trump get up, as he did in Ohio, And he was talking about the economy surging, American manufacturing coming back. And just out of nowhere, all of a sudden, he runs off a list of half a dozen companies and details of their expansions, how many more people they've hired and all the rest. The president now slapping back at the vicious but not smart Omarosa, saying the wacky former apprentice contestant begged him with tears in her eyes for a job at the White House, but John Kelly, chief of staff, told me she was a loser, said everybody in the West Wing hated her. He said Omarosa's book is riddled with lies, said his former friend and staffer is a lowlife. Trump blasting the wacky former aide and says General Kelly warned him she was a loser. She begged me for a job, tears in her eyes. I said, okay. She was vicious but not smart, the president tweeted. He also defended himself for getting down in the mud with Team Trump's newest apostate. While I know it's not presidential to take on a lowlife like Omarosa, I know the fake news media will be working overtime to make even wacky Omarosa look as legitimate as possible. Sadly, I'm sure that's true. There was also a story today. I don't know if you saw this or not. A bunch of newspapers are now deciding to gang up and group editorialize against the president. Like anybody reads newspapers? Like anybody makes a judgment based on their editorial board's opinions? Be right back. Quarter before six here on the Bobby Mack Show.
Hey, I like your attitude.
Well, thank you. That probably is because I am the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loud mouth of the South. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nine before six here on the Bobby Mack Show. Hey, Bobby, here's a gift for you. Ponderosa Panty Squawk. You're welcome. Maybe that should be Omarosa Panty Squawk, I guess. Bob Strzok got struck by the FBI. Now, here's a question. Why'd it take so long? No kidding. Bobby, I'm sure Trump used that language during The Apprentice. He was hanging with P. Diddy cultural diversity types. Bobby, it seems like what Omarosa did would break all kinds of secrets acts, security protocols. Why isn't she under arrest? Bobby, sounds to me like James Comey might be coaching Omarosa. By the way, now the White House is also saying, oh, guess what? Omarosa also managed to violate her NDA. That would be a non-disclosure agreement. Okay, here we go with today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yeah, you know, when you travel around different parts of the country, you certainly want to sample the local cuisine, right? A guy in Delaware, Antonio Stevens is his name. He's from Orlando. He was in Dover, Delaware the other day. Decided to sample the best food Delaware has to offer, so naturally he went to the Colonel, KFC. But unfortunately for Antonio, he got there at 11:15, more than an hour after it had closed. So he did what many of us would do in this situation. He pulled out a gun and told an employee who was outside, open it back up. When she wouldn't do it, he tried to steal her stuff, then wound up running away empty-handed. Cops eventually tracked him down. He was arrested, first-degree robbery and resisting arrest. Wow. I guess sometimes, you know, we see the millennial types seeking their safe spaces. Maybe this is the equivalent of that in Germany. Guy in Germany called the cops last Thursday to tell them he was being chased by a wild animal. He felt stalked. He was under threat. So naturally, they sent out a unit to help. The animal was still chasing him when he got there. You would think he might have been able to handle it on his own, because it turned out the ferocious beast he was worried about was a baby squirrel. Yeah, cops were able to catch it after it ran out of energy and lied down to take a nap. Now, maybe the guy thought it had rabies or something, and that's why he called the cops. But it was perfectly healthy. They think it was only chasing him because it had become separated from its mother and thought he was its new mom. As you might imagine, the man was not hurt by the baby squirrel. Squirrel is now being cared for by the Animal Rescue Center. Real manly man. Now, this is like something a five-year-old might do if they were trying to escape from kindergarten. Unidentified man in North Platte, Nebraska, flipped his car early last Wednesday morning, then fled the scene. He had someone pick him up, then called 911, but said he didn't want to talk to the cops. He even threatened to attack them if they tried to find him. Well, they tracked him down anyway, pulled him over. That's when the guy jumped out of the car, picked up a frog. That's what I said. Ribbit. A frog. And tried to use it as a hostage. Don't come any closer, or the frog gets it. He wouldn't respond to commands, started throwing trash at a cop, so they had to tase him to get him into custody. Don't tase me, bro. It's not clear what kind of charges he is facing, but they think drugs and alcohol may have been a factor. Oh, by the way, a frog was unhurt in the whole deal. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if you're desperate to get some sleep but someone's ridiculously loud snoring is keeping you awake, well, I guess then maybe it counts as an emergency. Police in West Midlands, England, just released the audio from a call they got recently to 999. That's their equivalent of 911, British version. The man called because his wife was snoring too loudly. He said she sounded like a motorbike, and he didn't know what to do. The dispatcher told him, sorry, sir, this is not a police emergency. You should get medical help when your wife wakes up. As far as we know, the cops did not respond to this emergency call because his wife was snoring too loudly, and the guy won't be facing any charges for abusing the emergency system. But he probably should, just for being a doofus. There you go. There is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Take a break for the real news here at the top of the hour. When we come back on the other side, we talked the other day about Senate Democrats circulating plans for government takeover of the internet, another effort to shut down conservative thought and speech. And a number of people talked about how there were some conservatives that were working on their own version of Facebook. Got an update on that. We'll tell you about that and more when we come back in the bonus hour here on Monday.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!